Live and local, it's Styles and Watkins. Watch the show on youtube.com/SacktownSports1140.
Or listen on the Sacktown Sports app.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. We will be joined by Brandon Gustafson, writer for Seattle Sports, at 1 p.m. That is in 1 hour. We will be giving Brandon some tough questions about the Seahawks. They wrote me off. I didn't write back, though. That's Geno Smith. Is Brandon writing Geno Smith off at this point? That will be our question for Brandon, as well as his perspective on Brock Purdy and much other good topics to go over as we continue to talk Kings, continue to talk Suns. And, you know, we were pretty tough, as a lot of people have been, on Harrison Barnes.
Yeah.
I'm not saying we shouldn't be, but I'm saying we love to do blame pie, and Harrison can't take all the pie, right? Keegan Murray, whether it be fair or not, has a lot on his broad shoulders.
For sure.
What's up, Vancouver?
What's up, Vancouver, right? What is up, Keegan Murray, and what is up with Keegan Murray? You have Keegan Murray, who has battled with some injuries, started off with, I don't want to say he was been in a slump, but it kind of seemed like it. Gets rolling a little bit, then gets injured. He has not really looked like that guy this season, and I would say at the very least, he has not progressed. Now, we can file this under sophomore slump, and that's fine. The problem is the Kings aren't where they were last season without Keegan Murray.
Right.
So if you don't at least have last season's Keegan Murray, I don't know what happens with the Suns this season. Is it fair to put this much on a second-year player simply because of how he performed in the first year? Or should we alter our expectations? Because if you alter your expectations for Keegan Murray, you alter your expectations for this Kings team as a whole.
Yeah, there's a lot to pick from there. I would say that Keegan has disappointed. I think we can officially call it a slump at this point. Mm-hmm. I think that there are, again, excuses versus reasons. I think there's reasons for the slump. But that doesn't change the fact that Keegan Murray is still shooting, under 40% from the field and just above 30% from three. That's disappointing. Like, when you think about what the Kings team was supposed to be this year, Keegan's definitely kind of slid under the radar in terms of criticism. When we talk about blame pie,
Herter got it.
It's HB's turn now. Even Sabonis got it for a week or two there. Keegan Murray's just been able to kind of fly under the radar, and I think it's because he's a really well-liked kid. He had a great rookie season that shouldn't have anything taken away from him. But again, when you factor in at the start of this year, what was the Kings' improvement going to be? It was all internal, and a lot of it was Keegan Murray turning into a different guy than the guy we saw last year. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, or whether or not he's on his way to becoming that guy or whatever, he hasn't been good enough to be where the Kings wanted to be at the start of the season. And it is, he plays a factor into that. The Kings were wanting him to be the reliable, consistent third option on this team. Mm-hmm. And he just hasn't. I mean, Kevin Herter, it feels like, has been the third guy more times than Keegan has. Malik absolutely has. He wasn't even in, like, he's been, like I said, I think Malik's almost been the second best player for the Kings, or second most impactful player for the Kings this season. Keegan's been four, maybe five, but he was supposed to be number three, absolutely, maybe even some nights or more nights than not, being the number two scoring option. And he has just not been that. So he definitely deserves some of the blame pie, if not a bigger chunk than what I think most people even want to give him, because it is fair to answer another one of your questions. I think it is fair to put a lot more expectation and a lot bigger workload on a guy after his rookie season. Your rookie year is a flash. So many things are happening. You're just trying to show that you belong in the league. Well, after you've shown, especially to the level of comfort that I think Keegan was at by the end of last year, well, now it's time to treat you like we treat everybody else. Well, now you're going to get a workload that's to the same of Harrison Barnes. We're not just going to ask Keegan, hey, Keegan, shoot, and then, you know, we'll give you a little bit of slack on the defensive end. Keegan's getting no slack now. It's defend the best player, and you still better be the shooter you were last year, on top of adding putting the ball on the deck and bringing the ball down the floor and finishing at the rim. All of that needs to happen because Keegan Murray, we need you to be a better player than the guy you were last year. The guy you were last year is a really good weapon. He's a good tool, but that's not what we need from you. And maybe this is the Kings getting the answer of, you know, a lot of people wondered what Keegan Murray's ceiling would be.
Is he untouchable or not?
That's the question. I mean, even when he was drafted, there were questions of, okay, yeah, we know the guy he is right now. We get he's a good shooter, but what's the upside? Where's the upside there? And the Kings were convinced that there was more upside than what some people thought. Well, maybe, who knows? I think it's still being determined right here, right now. Maybe everybody was right. Maybe there isn't more to Keegan's game than just being a spot-up shooter. I don't know. I had questions about it. I think right now we're seeing that push and pull happen, but I think what's happening is Keegan Murray in real time right now is we're kind of getting a And I don't think we're going to get the answer at the end of this year. I think he still gets another year to try and figure it out. But I think we're starting to see the answer right now to just how high Keegan Murray's ceiling could potentially be.
And that's,
or low it could be.
Right. And that's why in the last segment when we had a conversation about Jonathan Kuminga, I do think it's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Because I think if you were to ask, 30 GMs, hey, if you're making a trade right now, who would you rather trade for, Keegan Murray or Jonathan Kuminga? Number one, it's only 2 years, but Jonathan Kuminga is only 21. Mm-hmm. Keegan Murray's 23. Now, Keegan has done more in the league. Keegan has been asked to do more as well.
Right.
I don't know. The problem with these teams that have won, like the Warriors, is, and they had the weird couple of years where they stunk, but then they were able to get these draft picks, even though they weren't really a bad team. So Jonathan Kuminga can't really get on the floor, but if you're the Pistons, and I'm always saying the Pistons.
Right.
We'll give him a break at some point, but it ain't now. If you're the Pistons.
I mean, that seems to be the island of misfit toys.
Right.
No win December.
Yeah, right. No shave November, no win December. If you're the Pistons.
No Wemby.
If you're the Pistons, if you're the Blazers, it really depends on what you feel like you already have. Like the Blazers, I think, would take Keegan over Jonathan Kuminga. Blazers have plenty of athleticism, right? But I do think there are some teams that would take Kuminga over Keegan. And we do this thing when somebody is your guy, and you make a really good point when it's, oh, we've been taking it easy on Keegan. He's young.
Right.
He's only 23. He's kind of got the baby face going. He's our guy. Hey, we know Keegan.
And no one ever likes to pick on the nice guy. It's,
Harrison Barnes is the same thing. And
yeah,
he's even younger, right? It's only his second year in the league. But if you take the purple glasses off, what is Keegan's value compared to the other 23 and under players in the league? I don't know. I don't know if it's as high as when I've been spending this time in Sacramento. Keegan's our guy. And you'll see on TNT, the National, if Keegan can be the third option. I guess my point is that every team feels like they have a guy.
Of course.
Yeah. Right? And Keegan is the Kings have multiple because they have De'Aaron, but Keegan is that young guy who's on the come up. Right. Everybody feels like they have that guy or a guy, right? So when you go up against a team, it's my guy versus your guy.
Right.
But as far as the NBA world is concerned, I'm not sure. And we did this. It was a 25 and under.
Yeah, 20, and top he was, 25 and under he was, 25. And he was 24.
Right. He was barely in it.
Yeah.
And we sat there and thought, is that a smidge disrespectful?
Right.
You read off some of those other names and you think, I mean, Kuminga, I don't even think was on the list, right? So there's a lot of players on that list. Maybe it was correct.
Right.
Maybe he is that fringe guy, and this season we're going to see where he fits because there's a lot of young talent getting drafted every single season.
No, I mean, and that's where, you know, some of the people who are claiming just go out there and get OG Anunoby, Keegan's not untouchable, that's where they have a little bit of an argument because if you're Monty McNair, the last thing you want to do is be like the guy that we're complaining about, Masai Ujiri, and overvalue your assets. Mm-hmm. Because, yes, the Kings do have a lot of faith in Keegan Murray, and I think that's fine, and you should have faith in your draft picks. But The problem is, if you put all of your stock into Keegan Murray being a guy who is only going to raise his value, and actually it turns out his value is never as high as what it is right here, right now, mm-hmm. well, then you poorly manage that asset. And again, if you're thinking about, I heard Jason with Sam Amick on this morning, ask him what is the Kings' best asset besides De'Aaron and Sabonis. It's all kind of level at that point. If yeah. Keegan isn't anything, you know, special or, you know, he's probably still the Kings' best asset. But if he's not that third guy, if he's just a good fringe role player, well, then you kind of don't have anybody else to throw into a trade and make that big swing, especially if you don't do it now. So I don't know. It's an interesting thing. Again, I don't think that Keegan has to figure it out this year. I think it's fair to give him a year of throwing him into the fire and letting him kind of feel what it feels like, and then seeing next year, okay, you had the year to kind of internalize it. Let's see what you did with that information. But after that, I mean, to me, it's the decision is made. Like, at that point, you know who Keegan Murray is. It's either you gave him too much and he wasn't able to take that next level, or he just is the guy that he was his first season, which is a useful player, but it's not a guy who's, you know, worthy of being traded for a third star.
No, if he is not, if at best is a shooter that can defend, and now we're having the Klay Thompson right. conversation similar to Klay, and it wouldn't have even been at the clip that Klay was prior to injury. He's just another guy. What do they call him? A jag, right? He's just a guy, which is fine, but the problem is, and this is what just happens throughout sports, if Keegan is balling, right, if he's balling, then nobody wants to move him when his value is actually higher.
Right.
If he's not balling, right, you won't have a problem getting through this season if he's not balling.
Exactly.
Because nobody's going to want him, right? Because nobody's going to want him. So I think that is the tough part about this. What's crazy about this, Chris, as I look at these splits, and obviously he played he started 78 games last season. He's at 15 now. You look at some of these splits, he averaged 12.2 points last season, and this season he's averaging 12.9.
Right.
So he's actually averaging more points, but it doesn't feel like it.
Right.
And as we go back to what we always say, exceeding low expectations is harder than meeting higher expectations. Got to get to a break. When we get back, continuing to break down Kings and Suns, and how does De'Aaron Fox's Supermax, how does he match up with other guys that will also be eligible? We already talked about one player, and another player might also be on the Kings by the end of the season. Stiles and Watkins, Sackdown Sports.
Sacramento has a new tag team in the midday. It's Stiles and Watkins on Sacktown Sports.
Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Talking Keegan Murray, it's not surprisingly a hot topic.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people have things to say. We see on the Sack Chat, maybe this is premature. Well, this is how you got into the playoffs last season,
yep.
right? And I do think it is eye-opening to see that he actually is averaging technically 0.7 more points right. than last season, because it does not
on
feel like that.
On three more shots. I think that's why it doesn't shots. Feel like it is
it
because
does not feel like
he's
that.
Taking a lot more attempts
that's
to get
fair.
To the similar result.
That's and fair.
Even then, there's supposed to be improvement. Mm-hmm. Like, it's we don't want you to be the same guy you were last year. You're supposed to be better and better and better. And yes, Keegan is absolutely doing things last year that he just wasn't asked to do last year. And yes, he's improving leaps and bounds in those categories, and that is still being taken into account 1,000%. But if you can't do all of those things and still be able to have your calling card, if you look, if you have to play defense at the expense of being an elite shooter, mm-hmm. well, then it's not that that's not a good trade-off. That tells me that you're clearly being asked to do too much, and maybe you're just not the kind of player that can hold that kind of workload, which is fine. Most players can't. We don't ask Kevin Huerter to carry that kind of load, but the problem is it devalues or it takes away what you can potentially give to the team, and it makes you a little bit more, I don't want to say replaceable, but it turns you into just a jag. It turns you into just another guy. You might be better than some of those other guys. You might be a better shooter, but by all intents and purposes, if you're not a De'Aaron Fox or DeMont, if you're not impacting the game at a certain level, at some point you can find somebody else in the league who gives what you're giving. And I think the thing is, the Kings were hoping Keegan Murray would be a special player, not a guy that is replaceable by any sense. They were hoping that, and that hope still remains, and he still definitely can become it, but they're hoping that they see a guy who's shooting like Klay Thompson, but is 3 inches taller than Klay. And that's not something you just see walking around the NBA every single year. So, yeah, if Keegan can be a good shooter, that's great. But if he can be a guy who shoots at a ridiculously high level and defends at a high level, well, that's something special.
Yeah. By the way, all guests and callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop, 916-339-1140 from the 209. I think with Keegan Murray, obviously we've already factored in his back injury. But what I haven't heard factored in last year, the league had no film on him. New player teams didn't necessarily know how to prepare for him. Now teams know what Keegan is on offense and how to better defend him. Similar to Tyreek Evans' rookie of the year season and then the second year drop off. Yeah, you're right, 209. That's just what we call this. That's all part of the sophomore slump.
Right.
Right. You're not sneaking up on anybody, and he's not sneaking up on anybody.
Right.
And that goes into the same expectation conversations. Keegan Murray, but to be completely honest, I'll be honest with you. What is Keegan Murray's scouting report? He's a shooter.
Yeah.
Right. So
spot up shooter.
He's a spot up. So is he getting less? We'd have to go deep dive into the advanced analytics. Is he getting less open shots? Because from what I've seen, he's not really getting less open shots.
Yeah,
he's not taking more. Yeah. He's definitely not taking more contested looks.
Right. He looks. Yeah. To me, he's just missing shots. And I attribute it to he's being asked to do more and. Mm-hmm. That takes a different level of conditioning. Like, it's tough to run around on defense and then run around screens, get the ball, and without thinking, chuck it up and still have that same sense of rhythm and flow that you've had in the past when you haven't been asked to have that much of a workload. So, yeah, I mean, I just think he hasn't been the same guy that he was, or at least, you know, reliability-wise, he hasn't been offensively the kind of guy that you relied on as much as last year. And again, it's awesome that Keegan has taken the leaps defensively. The Kings need that almost as much as they need his shooting, because if he can be a point of attack defender, that makes the Kings a lot better of a playoff team. If they have a guy that they can throw at some of the best players in the NBA and feel good about it, that's awesome. But again, Keegan's got to make his shots, because at the end of the day, that's what makes Keegan Murray Keegan freaking Murray, is the fact that he knocks down, you know, threes at a 40% clip, and he's also 6'8", 6'9". So if he's not doing that, then he's not being Keegan Murray. And I think that's the problem, is have we lost a little bit of what made Keegan so great last year in trying to ask him to do more, which again, I think you should ask him to do more. It's just he hasn't really taken that new added responsibility and thrived with it.
And again, we can sit here and say, oh, well, he's figuring it out. We don't have to make judgments on him now. You don't have to.
Yeah.
The Kings just probably will be what that caller said yesterday,
right,
and the Kings will be a 6 seed.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what they are right now. You are not going to be a 3 seed if Keegan regresses, because it's a better Keegan that you had last season. Even though Chris makes a good point, even though the points might be up barely, he's taking more shots. They're asking him to do more. So, you know, it's you can look at this a couple different ways, right? And the way I want to look at this is from a contest point of view at Hard Rock Live.
Come on.
And Skid Row will be performing December 16th. Live Nation has teamed up with Sactown Sports for your chance to see Skid Row at Hard Rock Live December 16th. For more information, visit sactownsports.com. Skid Row, and we are going to go with where the Kings currently are in the Western Conference. We're going to go with caller number 6, 916-339-1140, 916-339-1140 for your chance to win tickets to Skid Row December 16th. Kyle will take care of you as we break down the curious case of Keegan Murray. I don't even know if it's really that curious.
Yeah.
Sophomore slumps happen all the time.
Yeah. No, and I mean, I don't think either of us are saying like Keegan's a bust or Keegan's not going to make it, or clearly he is just a guy. We're just saying, when you look at we like to do the blame pie. I think that's how we started off the segment. Like, we're just saying a lot has been talked about Harrison Barnes. He's the hot button topic right now. Again, a lot was made of Kevin Herter's struggles. Not a lot of people are bringing up the fact that, again, the Kings were planning on Keegan being that internal improvement was the hot word from that was the buzzword from this offseason. Is the Kings didn't go out there and go sign the Jeremy Grants. They didn't go out there and throw the money on Kyle Kuzma because they believed really strongly in the internal development of this team taking the leap. Of course, we're only, a fifth of the way, a quarter of a way through the season. There's still a lot of season left for Keegan to improve, but it's on the offensive end. But it's just, if we're looking at reasons why the team hasn't taken a leap this year or been significantly better, it's because Keegan has not been significantly better, which was, again, really what the organization was banking on for their development of this year. Again, not saying they're a bad team, not saying it was a bad risk, not saying it was the wrong decision. It's just the reason why they have not taken the leap is because Keegan as well hasn't quite taken a leap yet.
And you have to have conversations now. Hopefully this is it. Yeah. I don't like hearing anything about hips, knees, or backs, right? So hopefully Keegan can get over this hump and get back on track. I do think it's interesting as we get to a break when you compare somebody like a Moses Moody and Jonathan Kuminga, where you want to be asked more, right? You wish you had more of a role. What do you think guys prefer? What do you think players prefer? Having the world asked of you, or I wish I had more attempts? Because I would imagine somebody like a Moody or Kuminga would love Keegan's spot, but when you are in Keegan's spot, it's a lot.
It's a lot of responsibility.
It's a lot. Yeah. We got to get to a break. When we get back, continuing to break down the Kings and the Suns, and Mike Brown calls out the team. Was it warranted? We'll talk about it. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacramento has a new tag team in the midday. It's Styles and Watkins on Sacktown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, the bad boys of the midday, taking you up to 2 p.m. Chris is looking at me saying, stop.
Well, that's why I'm the bad boy of media.
There you go.
I was like, I've said it before. That's why I'm the bad boy of media.
Wait, who is that?
That's me.
That's Chris.
That's you?
That's me. That's why I'm the bad boy of media.
That was my second or third show. Yeah, that does sound like you now.
Well, it was. That's why I'm the bad boy of media. Dang right.
I catch it at the end.
It's actually a fact.
Come on.
Light the beam. Light it. I know you got that one in the chamber, too.
Light the beam! Light it!
So mad.
Of course I know. I know. And hopefully there is a Friday beam tomorrow night. And I know I don't sound too optimistic about it. The way the Kings handled the loss that they took to the Pelicans, what I saw from the Suns, who really didn't play that well and still were in the game because we have a Kevin Durant and you don't, and we have a Devin Booker and you don't. And Devin Booker has really been in more of that James Harden point guard role, and he's been doing a darn good job. I don't think that you can expect another 21 points from Grayson Allen, but you better not play like you don't expect that. You better take him out early and make sure that nothing, that he isn't able to get going and just is able to pile on. Before we get to this Mike Brown sound calling out the team, 916-339-1140. Let's get out to Mark in Elk Grove, who wants to talk Keegan Murray. What's up, Mark? You're on Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Afternoon. What you got for us?
And a very happy holidays to you and yours.
Oh, hey, you listen, as well.
Hey, listen, I joined the conversation late, so I apologize if I misspeak. Keegan Murray, would you agree that his rookie year last year, he exceeded every expectation they had of him? Would you agree with that point?
I would.
Sure, yes.
I would.
Yes.
Okay, so we're talking about a guy that just was virgined into the NBA 1 year ago. He's getting into his second year. I heard you guys talk about the sophomore slump. Now, can we honestly really expect the guy in his second year to be the guy that defends their best offensive player and still be expected to hit 8 or 9 or 10 shots a game. Klay Thompson has been in the league forever. He's had to guard every team's best offensive player, mm-hmm. and he's still expected to hit buckets. We can't put that kind of pressure on a...
Oh, did we lose Mark?
But again, we can't get crazy on this kid. I mean, a second year for criminy's sake.
Yeah, I hear you, Mark, and it's a great call. Shout out Elk Grove. Here's a problem, though. This isn't Chris Watkins asking Keegan Murray to do this and having these expectations. This isn't Allen Stiles asking Keegan Murray to do this and have these expectations. This is the Kings.
Yeah.
The Kings are asking him. Yeah. So that's what we're talking about. If the Kings had said, hey, Keegan, just keep doing what you're doing last season,
right.
They're the ones matching him up against their best player. And in that offense, now, Mike Brown has said he expected, hey, the legs might be a little bit different. We understand that. But if that were the case, I guess the point is we can understand that. So maybe Mark's point is, well, then it has to come from somewhere else and you're just going to sacrifice Keegan Murray's offense all season. Okay, that's fine. I don't know if that's what the Kings had hoped for.
No, it's not. No, they were hoping that he would be able to do both. And again, I don't think that they expected him to be from game one, be this two-way star after the season. Of course they knew it was gonna take some time and there was gonna be some roadblocks. And again, we're not saying cut Keegan Murray. We're not saying trade Keegan Murray. We're just saying that right here, right now is him developing in real time. And sometimes development is not a straight up and down path. Like, it's not always a straight up path, which you could throw back in my face, absolutely, and say that this is just a down portion of his path to maybe ultimately figuring this out. But I'm just saying right now, the development of Keegan Murray is in the balance. It's not a clear way or direction which way this thing's going to go. He might not be able to handle this much pressure. This much responsibility offensively and defensively. That's fine. But again, the Kings took Keegan Murray fourth in the draft. There's a certain level of expectation that comes with being the fourth pick in the draft. You can't just be a shooter if you're the fourth pick. That's not what the Kings did. That's why the Kings took Keegan Murray and were screaming from the high tops for anyone who could hear it. We don't think this kid has a low ceiling. We think that there's something else there that nobody else sees. People see Keegan and say, he's a good shooter. He's a good spot-up shooter, but I don't see much of anything else. And the Kings said they see more in him than that, and that's what they're trying to show. All I'm saying is, I wonder if maybe people might have, the general consensus might have been more correct than what the Kings might have thought Keegan Murray. And I'm not saying it is. I'm not saying definitive. I just think that what we're seeing, the Keegan Murray we're seeing right here, right now, I think is the concern that a lot of teams had. Mm-hmm. And again, we don't know which way he's going to fall on the side of he might figure this thing out, or this might just be the norm for Keegan if he's going to play this much defense. It's just we don't know here and now, but I'm just letting you know that it's in the bout. Like, him shooting 39% and just over 30%, that's like real. We have not lost the kid, but the guy that he was last year is not even a framing of what he is this year on the offensive end. The defensive end is he's a completely different guy.
Right.
But the Kings also need Keegan Murray's offense as well. And when you're the fourth pick in the draft, sometimes you're going to have a lot of weight and expectations on your shoulders. And I think we're just finding out right now how much weight Keegan can have. And I don't think it needs to be decided by this season or through 20 games through the season. Mm-hmm. It's still a work in progress. I just think right now, if we're trying to figure out 20 games through the season, if we're doing a quarter of the season report card here, the reason why the Kings are at a similar record that they were last year is because Keegan Murray hasn't taken a leap yet. And right. So the Kings have not taken a leap yet. They are still in the range of teams that they were last year, which is fine, but the Kings were planning to get better this year.
Right. All we can do is talk about what we've seen so far. Yes. We don't have a crystal ball.
Absolutely.
We can't tell the future. And here's the thing. Whether you're on the SAC chat, whether you're on the text line, whether you've called in or whether you're just intently listening as we take you up to 2 p.m. We have not used the F word. And I think that you could use the F word. I don't like using the F word because I don't think very many people care, as Kyle and Chris worry about what F word that is.
So
and that word is fair.
Oh,
is
it fair? I thought it was flop. Okay.
No, no. Is it fair to ask this of Keegan Murray?
Sure.
I don't know, but that's what the Kings are asking of him this year. Sometimes you get to go in the pool into the shallow end, right? That would be a Jonathan Kuminga. That would be a Moses Moody. And you want to get into the deep end, but they won't let you. You have a situation here where Keegan Murray is being thrown into the deep end, yep, whether he likes it or not. There are worse things to happen. Keegan Murray could have stunk last season. And then you have a fourth pick. This is a good
problem. Absolutely.
This is a good problem.
It's a great problem.
We don't know how good Keegan Murray is going to be. Ultimately, is putting all this on Keegan Murray as a second year player, is it fair?
Yeah.
I don't know, but I'm not Mike Brown. Right. I'm not Monty McNair. I'm not the one doing it. They are.
Yeah. And also, this might not even be to that point. I'm not even saying this is Keegan's fault.
I could argue that
to what you just said, you could argue this is Mike Brown's fault. I don't know whose fault it is, and I don't even know if it's anything that needs, it's not something that has someone at fault. There's no blame going around. I guess there is, as we say, blame pie, but it's not like this is someone has ruined something. But again, if we're saying maybe Keegan was given too much too soon, that could be a fair criticism of the job that Mike Brown has done developing this guy. Some people can't just be thrown in the deep end. Some people do kind of need some spoon feeding along the way. But whatever. Yeah.
I'm looking right here. And again, this might have a negative tone, but the reality is without Keegan Murray, you're not breaking the 16-year drought last season.
Right.
So if he regresses, obviously the team is going to regress.
Right.
That's just the facts.
Unless they get that production from somewhere else, which, again, to the point, they are not. It's not like someone has stepped in to the Keegan Murray role. They're just not getting that extra bump of shooting. And I think that's what we've seen with the hot and cold nature of this team is there isn't – it's either everyone's going or no one's going. Not very often do you have, okay, we had three or four guys going today, but one or two didn't. Mm-hmm. And that's where that's where you're missing Keegan Murray's offense as well. And that's where, again, we have to question, since you're giving Keegan Murray so much of a workload on the defensive end, well, now it's starting to affect your offense. And it becomes the question of – which is the overall Kings question of – are you giving up what your true identity is, what you're truly good at, the thing that made you special? Are you giving up too much of that to try and recoup the defense which you desperately need?
And somehow that all comes back to Harrison Barnes.
I don't know how.
Can't have a dude there doing cardio, all right? You can't have that.
Geez.
And real quick before we get to a break, look, as we take a more positive spin on this. The pick in 2022, the number four pick was Keegan Murray.
Yep.
The number five pick was Jaden Ivey, who cannot get off the bench for the lowly Pistons.
Yeah.
So this is not a negative conversation.
No.
This is about expectations and what the Kings specifically need from a guy who was that important to them during their run last season. Got to get to a break. And on the text line, 916, how should we as fans react to De'Aaron Fox declining his max extension? That is from Kay and Folsom. Great question, 916. Great question, Kay. We will get to it when we get back. That and more. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Live and local, it's Styles and Watkins. Watch the show on youtube.com/SacktownSports1140.
Or listen on the Sacktown Sports app.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking up to 2 p.m. Sack Chat, text line, not happy with your boys. Calling us too negative. I'm sorry that Keegan Murray hasn't seemed to take that next step. I'm sorry that the Kings are the ones asking that of him. So we can just break down what he's been doing based on what they are asking of him. If he was on another team and they weren't asking him to do as much, maybe it would be different. But the Kings have been very open about what they expect from him. But we can flip it a little bit more positive here. because, you know, the Suns have not been world beaters. And I do think that even though I'm personally a bit worried about the Kings, just because I just being in that press room and that post game presser and just seeing how the Kings really did want to win that game. I know they've had some time to wash it, some time to flush it, but that is why I was a bit or have been a bit worried about the Kings. But the Suns haven't been world beaters. They can't stay healthy. So really, and you have some news on one Keegan Murray that he did fully participate in today's practice.
Yes, this is from our very own Frankie Cardicelli. He puts out there that Keegan Murray, as you said, was a full participant in practice today, and his status for tomorrow's game is still unknown, but we will be given an update later this evening. But, of course, a good sign that Keegan did participate fully through practice, though we did see, what was that, last week or was it earlier this week where Keegan practiced and then still didn't play. So, you know, a part of the practice is also seeing how he's going to feel later today, seeing how he feels later tomorrow. And then I think, you know, after tomorrow morning, we'll probably have a much better gauge on how Keegan's back is feeling. So definitely a positive sign there, especially when we talk about guys to put on possibly Devin Booker, but more likely Kevin Durant. Definitely Kings are are we lying to ourselves? No, the Kings are going to need Keegan Murray tomorrow if they want to try and slow down KD.
Yeah, it's going to be a team effort. And look, I'm not being facetious or sarcastic at all. This is going to be Harrison Barnes. This is going to be a Harrison Barnes situation. Because that's that you put Harrison Barnes on Zion. It's going to be a group project, but I think Harrison Barnes will be there the most. And I would also say this when we talk about Harrison Barnes, and this is it might be a reach here.
Okay.
But this is what I like to do. And I know Harrison Barnes, you know, sometimes you don't think about Harrison Barnes as having that dog in him. We've seen him have that dog in him before, but let us not forget that Harrison Barnes in 2016 and when he was Brickmaster Flex and it was just a rough go. They got him out of town, and obviously it would have been an upgrade. I don't know if it would have been an upgrade if he made those shots and the Warriors won the whole thing, but he was upgraded for Kevin Durant.
Yes.
I know that was a long time ago, but if I were Harrison Barnes, I would have that chip on my shoulder for the rest of my career. I mean, you got ran out of a championship situation. You did get cashed out. Didn't you go to the Mavs after that?
You
got cashed out with the Mavs, and now he's here with the Kings. But that was the Warriors saying, we're crying in the car because Harrison Barnes isn't good enough. And we gotta get you in here, KD. We gotta get Harrison Barnes at it. That's how I would take it.
Yeah, for sure.
And then we gotta do our dog segment tomorrow. But I look, that doesn't make Harrison Barnes be a better player or be a better, but if you're looking to have that chip on your shoulder, I would imagine that he would have something like that.
Yeah, no, for sure. If I were Harrison Barnes, I'm looking at KD always like that's, you know, that's like your new girlfriend's baby daddy or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't like that guy. I just don't like him.
He seems like a cool dude.
Yeah, seems like a great guy, but he's much taller than I am.
Yes,
okay,
that's right.
It makes me feel insecure.
Yeah.
Okay, he's got a better relationship with the person that I thought I had a good relationship with.
Everybody likes him.
Yeah, everybody always wonders, oh, you know, hey, nice to see you, HB, but where's Kevin?
Yeah, where's Kevin? Is Kevin coming?
Is Kevin coming?
Yeah.
Kevin's so great.
Right.
And like, if I'm HB, I'm always looking at KD in those matchups. And, you know, of course, Harrison Barnes, I don't think, is under the delusion that, hey, tonight's
going
to be
all
the night that I show KD, okay, what
I'm sure the Warriors, what they're missing.
Yeah, I'll show him. I was used to be the number one college recruit, okay?
Yeah.
No, I don't think Harrison definitely views himself in that light, but I'm sure maybe he's like, I got a little something for him in
exactly
terms of physicality. Or,
right.
You know, you're not just going to go and have a 35-point KD quintessential performance against me. So, I think that stuff is real. I think Harrison downplayed the Draymond beef last year in the playoffs, but it's real. I think he definitely is fully aware of just that entire situation and how it went down. And I don't think he's over it. I don't think he necessarily really views a lot of it as Kevin Durant's fault. But
no, it's not consuming him.
It definitely is the embodiment of it, for sure.
And look, to your point, Harrison Barnes is not going to sit there and think, this is my night to show the Warriors they were wrong, because they weren't. But on this night, I got something for Kevin Durant, and you're not going to win the war. The war is over, but maybe you win this little battle where it's, hey, I'm going to do my best.
Even if it's just a moral battle.
Yeah, keep it up internally. If you can keep KD to under 30 and the Kings win, I'm walking, I'm HB, I'm walking like the Black Falcon. I'm feeling like, hey.
Y'all
can't talk to me. I got something for you. So I would look, and this is maybe a little prequel to our dog segment tomorrow, because it will be, especially if Keegan is out. Hopefully he's not. But either way, we will see Harrison Barnes on Kevin Durant. Yeah. And if he got that dog in him, you know, there's no, he is the guy. You called him the fifth option, which is crazy in my mind when I heard it, but it is true. You're going to have some open threes, HB.
Yeah,
you got that quick release. You got to he does have a really beautiful jump shot.
Yeah.
So HB, when you get your opportunity, just say, hey, this is going to be a tiny victory for Harrison Barnes. You know, I know you guys went with Kevin Durant, and that kind of shipped me out of the situation, but I got something for you. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, we will be joined by the writer for Seattle Sports, Brandon Gustafson. We are talking Seattle Seahawks. We are talking Brock Purdy. We are talking San Francisco 49ers. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.